Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to know that this is the great hour which you yourself have come down to be with your children, to give us a message, Lord, through a vindicated prophet, to train us, Lord, as children, to know our role in the family of God. For it is at this hour that we are ordained to the adoption of sons, and that we are to be conformed to the image of your firstborn Son, and that we are to be holy and without blame in your presence. This is the hour of your presence. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you are doing. And had not you, Lord, done these things for us, they would never have been done. So we just commit, Lord, our relaxation under the seventh seal. We commit ourselves into thy hands, that the very plan and purpose, Lord, which you purposed in yourself before the foundations of the world, would truly be manifest in our flesh in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we have a little bit of reading to do from Brother Ram's sermon. The spoken word is the original seed before we go straight to the Word of God. So let's begin at paragraph 83 where we left off last week. Brother Ram says here, all of God's sons must be the same. I want you to think about that because, you know, we're talking about a firstborn son. We're talking about prophets. We're talking about wise men and scribes. But he's saying all of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken Word again, like in John 3, see? To be born of water and Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason of Christ's death. Brings us right back again to where sons of God. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over here to play the part of the harlot. Now, before we go any further, let me just read three statements from this paragraph, again, that I believe are of most importance to us and of interest to us as sons of God in this late hour. Number one, he said, all of God's sons must be the same. Number two, to be born of the Word and Spirit. And then number three, it will bring you right back again under the place of where you should have been at the beginning, sons of God. Now, to go back to the beginning, to see how that we are sons of God and how we are to be at the end time, we must go to Ephesians chapter 1. So if you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 3. Here, here Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now this tells you right there that outside of Christ there should not be all spiritual blessings. For those blessings are only to those who were in Christ before the foundations of the world. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us, not you choosing him, but he says, as he hath chosen us, that is what counts, his choosing. When? Before there was an atom to make a molecule, before the earth was framed, before the earth even had a foundation to stand upon. That means before it became material, back when it was still in the mind of God. That's how far back we had representation in Christ. Back when he, Christ, was the lamb slain in the eyes of God. The lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Now look, when God had in his mind Christ is firstborn. And remember, he's the firstborn of many brethren, and we're all to be the same, he said. But when God had in his mind Christ, his firstborn, as the lamb that was slain in his mind, before the foundations of the world, he was already predestinating you and I to the adoption of sons at the same time. I want you to think about that as we go back to the book of Revelations, to look at the mind of God concerning the role of his firstborn son. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that's the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Now, this speaks of an entire world will worship the beast, and it says, all whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life, or the book of life of the Lamb, which is the same thing. But anyway, all those whose names were not written in that book of life before the foundations of the world will go into false worship. And they will worship the dragon, which is Satan, in worshiping his creation, the beast. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, this word worship was translated from the Greek word proskuneo, which is made up of two words, the first being the word pros, meaning to bend over, as we also see in the word prostrating that we use in our language. And the other word was kuneo, sounds like kuneo, meaning a hound dog. That's why we call them coon dogs. That's the Greek. Meaning a hound dog. And together, these words, pros and kuneo, mean to kiss the hand of, like a dog licking his master's hand. So notice it says, and they worshipped, they were like dogs kissing the hand of Satan, which gave power unto the beast. Now it's no strange thing then to see that this practice, or this is the practice of the Vatican, where everyone wishing to visit the Pope must bend over and kiss his hand like a dog licking his master's hand. That's exactly what that action is meant to instill in the minds of men, that they are inferior to the Pope, and that they are a lesser being than the Pope, and by kissing his ring, they must bow down to do so, showing that he is their master. Like the foreigner in the White House who bowed down when he shook the hand of the Saudi Arabian prince. You talk about an unadulterated blasphemy against God and man. No man should bow down and kiss the hand of any man or any woman. The elect whose names were written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundations of the world, they would never do so. Because we were in him. Think about this. We were in him who fashioned the universe. And being in him shows that we're a part of him. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I get pretty excited thinking about that. We're part of him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We're part of him. Paul said in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him or in his presence. Look, he chose us. We didn't choose him. And he chose us when we were a part of him. And he selected us out to be holy and without blame in his presence. You know, I really love that. I think you should too. Because if he chose us to be that way, then he had to make a way for us to be that way, to manifest that holy and without blame in this flesh. Now you think God is just playing a game and guessing how it's going to end up? That's what the Baptists think. They think God just sat up there looking down, he saw a car coming this way, car coming this way, said, well, based on the calculations of how fast they're going, they're going to crash. And that's predestination to them. But this tells us that we were ordained, predestined to be holy and without blame in his presence. Ordained, predestined to the adoption of sons. And to be in the adoption of sons isn't just being born in the family. It's being the right kind of a son. Hallelujah. God's not up there playing games guessing who's going to end up, who's not going to end up. We don't need to be that stupid. He said that while we were yet in him, he chose us to be holy. That means he sanctified. That means sanctified and without blame in his presence. You know, the word blame there actually is translated from a Greek word that means grinding, without grinding. Without grinding. Think about that. Without grinding. How often we grind at each other, like Brother Bram said, two cockaburs just rubbing off, rubbing off, rubbing off. There's a purpose for that. He ordained us to be without grinding, without blame. Now, how in the world are you going to do that in this body of this death? You can try all you like. But we're told in Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And so God wants to know what kind of house we're trying to build. According to our own ideas, or according to His instructions, the master planner. In Acts 7:49, He says, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, but what house will you build me? Saith the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest?" And so Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So it's not you building this house, but the Lord who chose what manifested house or vessel that you will live in before the foundations of the world. And if He saw it and He predestinated it, then it's up to Him to make it come to pass. In Galatians 2:21, Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And righteousness is from the old English word right-wiseness. And we know that he that is righteous does righteousness. That's what John said, 1 John 3:7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And how can he that does righteousness be righteous, even as Christ is righteous? Because he that is born of God does not initiate sin, because God's seed remains in him. 1 John 3:9. In fact, we also see in 1 John 2:29, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." So it comes from a seed, and every seed has to be the same, or it's not from the original. In Romans 10:3, we read, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Or, as we read it with the right understanding, "For they, being ignorant of God's right wiseness," His plan, His purpose, "and going about to establish their own right wiseness," their own plan, their purpose, "they have not submitted themselves unto the right wiseness of God." Now, getting back to Ephesians 1, verse 4, "According as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in His presence. Therefore, in love," that's past tense, having past tense, "predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." So we see that we have already been predestinated to the adoption of sons. Now, this word predestinated comes from the Greek word pro orizo, which again is made up of two words, pro meaning beforehand, or to go before, and the word horizon, or horizon, which means to decree, declare, ordain, appoint, or limit. In other words, marked out beforehand and limited or constrained by the limiting factors. In other words, when you have a seed and everything's put in that seed, it's limited to what's in the seed. Amen? In other words, marked out beforehand, constrained by the limiting factors. So in essence, you could not run from your predestined outcome if you tried. And many have tried. Many have tried to run away from their responsibility and their role in the family. And God just slammed them pretty good, or just set them down in some desert until they came to their senses and surrendered their will to the will of God. That was the case with Moses. That was the case with Paul. That was the case with William Branham. In fact, Brother Branham told us that Jesus even tried to dodge Calvary when he said, "Father, my will is that you take this cup from me." But then he gave over his will to the Father, and he said, "But not my will, but thy will be done." So we're looking at three statements that Brother Branham made concerning who we are as sons of God and as brothers of the eldest born son, Jesus himself. Number one, all of God's sons must be the same. You know, there was a thought that went around here about the last 20 some, maybe last 15 years or 10 years. And they said, "What would Jesus do?" You know, y'all probably saw the bumper stickers and stuff. It's not a bad sign. What would Jesus do? Well, they have a question, but we know. He did exactly what the Father showed him. Right in this word, you see. Number two, all of God's sons must be born of the Word and the Spirit. Then it brings you right back again into the under the place of where you should have been at the beginning, sons of God. So you see, we are the same, for of one Spirit we're all born into one family. From seed is not heir with a shuck, Brother Bram said, that's what the church is doing today. For Jesus is the Word, and He's the bridegroom. And the bride is a part of the groom. Therefore, the word that's to be fulfilled in this day is the same part of the word that was fulfilled in his day. And it's the same word, same experience, same life. As I mentioned before, God wants to live out your life for you. He wants to manifest his word in your vessel to your set of circumstances, to your associations, to your cycle of life. From seed is not air with the shuck, Brother Ram said, therefore part of his spirit, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life. Remember the scripture says this. It says when Christ who is our life shall appear. And that's the way the bride is to Christ. That's why the rapture of the royal seed has to come first. And the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. Then they were brought up at the white throne judgment. See, there is no judgment to the royal seed or to the predestinated seed of Abraham. That ought to give you relief. No judgment. Why? Because you're judging yourself now by the word. How can there be judgment when all the sons are the same as the original firstborn son who took the judgment for us? Same spirit, same word, same life, right? From God's provided place of worship, he said, now remember, in Christ we are all flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. When God wounded Christ at Calvary, he was wounded for me and you. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, body of his body, name of his name, bride of him. You see, we are in him. We are his flesh and his bones. And God has already raised us up, potentially. The quickening power that raised us from the life of sin and changed our being, it has potentially raised us up in Christ, which the resurrection will bring us forth in the full maturity. So you see, that is exactly what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Why? Because it's the same spirit that was in Christ that's in you. Then it has to do the same thing. Again, number one, all of God's sons must be the same. Number two, all of God's sons must be born of the Word and born of the Spirit. And God is the Word. So all of God's sons must be born of God, born of the Word. You see? And He is the Spirit. And it is His Spirit that we're born with into the family by one Spirit. We're all born into one family. Then it brings you right back again into the place of where you should have been at the beginning, sons of God. From Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Brother Bram said, 59:12-23. He said, our spirit is of God that can never be separated from God because we're a part of God. We are brought back into that thought of God. And everything that God does is perfect and eternal. And when God's very thoughts went out for a kingdom of people who would worship him, them very thoughts is eternal. See, they can no more perish. Every word of God is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but both heavens and the earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. See? They're eternal with God. And if you abide in me and my word in you, see, we become a part of his word, part of his life, for we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, life of his life, then we can no more perish than God himself could perish. That's what the Holy Ghost is. And that's what it's all about. Now let's move ahead to paragraph 84. Brother Branham said, from the spoken words, original seed, he said, you just say, that's flat, Brother Branham. But wait just a minute. We'll get into that in just a little bit later. See, you say, it can't be. Well, we'll just find out whether or not that it is or not. See? Then it's right. They're right. It's not hid. If it is, it's hid from those who's lost. See? That's right. Now, this brings you right back to the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. See? Jesus said the same thing. He said, he that believeth on me, who I am, what I came for, and the purpose that I do, to bring a man back to believe the word of God and take nothing else with it, the works that I do, he will do also. There you are. Then why are people so afraid to do what he did? Why, Brother Ramsey, paragraph 86, why is it not being done today? It's a hybrid bastard child, children mixed up. It's a mule. It don't know what it believes. A mule don't know his daddy, who his daddy is, who his mama is. He don't. He's no pedigree. There's nothing to him. He's an illegitimate creature. That's the way any person that claims to believe God and don't believe His Word will take a denominational creed and breed it with the Word. See, you're not of God. You're dead. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So even the Word of God don't even grow. You're just playing the part of the hypocrite. Let that go for bishop or priest or cardinal, whoever it might be. That's right. It's got to be the Word or you're dead. Just an illegitimate child. And God's Word, God part won't grow. Remember the seed that was thrown into the thorns? It says the cares of this life choked the Word, and the Word didn't grow. The God part won't grow, he says. You might grow in the same field as we're getting to directly, but you're sure not in the fold. It won't grow. Now look what he's saying here. He says you can look at the Word and even quote the Word, but if there's no reality of who your father is, then perhaps you don't know who your father is because you're a mule, a hybrid. That is why we don't see too many miracles in the message today. Because men are afraid to stand up for their father's word because they aren't really sure that he is their father. They say it, like the Catholics say, kumbaya, you know. We are one in the family, we're one in the Lord, we're one in the Spirit. Hallelujah, kumbaya. But they don't believe for one second. Because men are afraid to stand up for their father's word because they aren't really sure who their father is. But let me tell you something, brothers. I've had to take a stand, that stand, for my father overseas, just like Brother Branham had to take it overseas. He took a stand. Remember, the blind man had been blind for 20-some years from staring at the sun. Brother Branham knew exactly who his father was, and he had a vision from God. And God told him what to do. And he challenged all of those priests. He wasn't afraid, as Paul said, not afraid of the heavenly vision, not afraid to take a stand for it. And you know, I've seen miracles too. Nothing like Brother Branham's as far as the amount, but I've seen some pretty dynamic miracles of God. And I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed of my Father's words. And I ask you this question, are you? If He tells you to go, will you go? If He tells you not to go, will you stay? Will you be obedient to what God has for you? And when you go to where the people are out of line, and your father's not pleased with their being out of line, and he tells you to do something about it, are you afraid to tell him? Or are you willing to just let it fly? Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He wasn't afraid to look entire throngs of people right in the eyes and tell them their worship was not acceptable to God and in fact was out of line. You think he wanted to do that? You think it's easy to travel into this mad world of yesterday or today? You think Paul enjoyed going to those remote places? You think it was easy for him to talk to those people who had no clue to the true doctrine of the prophets before he got there? You think it was easy for Stephen to tell them that they had been preaching false doctrine their entire life, and in doing so they crucified the very Messiah they hoped would come? You think that was an enjoyable job? These men didn't go because they were crazy. They went because of their love for their father. And John said, if we love our father, won't we love his children? 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And again in 1 John 5 and verse 2, but this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And also 1 John 3 verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives for the brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Didn't Brother Branham say, all sons must be the same? Are you willing to lay down your life for the brethren? That's why we go where we go. Not to run, not to be somebody. But if we love our Father, then we will love His children. And we go to them to teach them about the family, about the pattern of the eldest brother. And so they must become conformed to that image. And that's why we go. In 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's not easy to be the focus of people's jokes and their backroom ridicule and their hatred. It's not easy to go places where your own so-called circle do not even want you in the area and won't cooperate with you. But you go to the brethren because they're your brethren and you love the Father, the same Father. Others run without a message, but they won't touch the true doctrine of Christ with a 10-foot pole. And do you think that they would openly accept challenges to stand before all and take 50 questions or more in a meeting without even reviewing the questions first? But that's what we do. Do you think that they would even allow questions in their meetings? I know they don't. Well, they might gather ministers together, call it a wonderful gathering of harmony and brotherly love, but without teaching the doctrine of Christ, it's just wasting everyone's time because they go away with nothing but a good feeling. And they waste the money of the people that they worked so hard to support those ministries. And they won't teach the truth because they're ashamed of it or they're afraid that they might lose out on a meal ticket. That's right. If a man doesn't teach the doctrine of Christ, he has not God. That's what John said. And he's afraid of confrontation. And he's afraid to take a stand for the truth. And John said, if he brings not this doctrine, we are not even to allow him into our homes, much less our churches. So what about all these ministers going without a message, running without a message? Jesus said in Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You wear your long dresses, sisters. You don't cut your hair. You live modestly. When people make comments, do you tell them why you live the way you do? Or are you ashamed? Do you hang your head? Do you take the insult? Or do you let them know that you're obedient to your Father? The man called me crazy. He called me he said, don't bring that faith stuff up to me. He said, how do you know there's even a God? I said, because he's my daddy. My daddy created the heavens and the earth. He said, well, my daddy's just a drunk. I said, that figures. Why are you afraid? Standing there, men say, wow, look at all those monkeys, those apes. He said, just think, we came from them. I said, you might have, we didn't. You might have, I didn't. I came in the image of my Father. My Father's not an ape. He's a creator of the heavens and the earth. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Again in Mark 3:8, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Yeah, the gospel brings affliction. The gospel will bring trials and testing. It'll bring mockery. It'll bring rebuke. Paul said, don't be ashamed of the words of our Savior. And don't be ashamed of me, his servant, who has these bonds because of his word. There you are. He placed himself right with their words of Christ, right with the words of Christ, and identified himself with that message that Jesus brought. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Brother Ram said from his sermon, who do you say this is? He said, God had called Moses, but he didn't want to go. Who in their right mind would want to go to those places? He didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do it was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out there and be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in with the rest of them and go along with the brothers. But you see, just like I forget what the prophet it was said, I don't want to do this. In other words, but my whole heart will catch fire. God has spoken and I must deliver it. Well, that prophet that Brother Bram's speaking of there was Jeremiah, who said in Jeremiah 20:7, he said, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiar watched for a halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins of the hearts, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. And yet I could never ask God to take vengeance on my enemies, no more than the eldest brother did when he hung there on the cross, struggling to take his last breath. And yet with that, what strength he could muster as he was strapped back and his feet were at an angle like this. So he couldn't breathe. He had to step up to breathe, take a breath. And he stepped up to take a breath to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the pattern. That's not an easy pattern to walk in. But Christ is our strength. And if that same Spirit which raised him up from the dead dwells in you, it will cause you to do the same thing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me read to you this from several other translations. Verse 7, we hear the prophet Jeremiah speaking to God. He says, you pushed me into this, God, and I let you do it. You were too much for me, and I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Every time I open my mouth and proclaim violence and destruction, all I get for my warnings from you. Oh my God, are insults and contempt from those who hear. Your word, O Lord, has brought me insults and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention you or speak any more in your name, your word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Then I hear whispering behind my back. There goes old hothead. Shut him up. Report him. Old friends watch, hoping that I'll fall flat on my face. One misstep and we'll have him. We'll get rid of him for good. But our eldest brother prayed for his enemies. And he didn't curse them. And that's our pattern to follow if we want to be pleasing to our Father. In Luke 9 and verse 49 we read, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he follows not with us. He's not part of our circle. He's not part of our group. And Jesus said unto them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so they went to another village. What words come out of our mouths when someone says something that's displeasing to you, to me? When these things happen, don't we realize they're just a test to see where we are along the progress of our maturity? Coming to the adoption of sons. In Psalm 39, David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days, as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou wilt rebuke, dost thou correct man for iniquity? Thou makest his beauty consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence, and be no more. I'd like to read this from another version called The Message. And you see how David was so upset that God allowed all the mockery and the abuse of his person, his spirit. Here is a man God anointed to be king, and yet the people spitting in his face. He said, I'm determined to watch steps and tongues. I'm determined to watch steps and my tongue so they won't land me in trouble. Have we come the same way? Are we determined to watch our step and our tongue so they won't land us in trouble? I decided to hold my tongue as long as the wicked was in the room. Mum's a word, I said, and kept quiet. But the longer I kept silence, the worse it got. My insides got hotter and hotter. My thoughts boiled over, and I spilled my guts. Tell me what's going on, God. How long do I have to live? Give me the bad news. You've kept me on pretty short rations. My life is string too short to be saved. Oh, we're all puffs of air. We're all shadows in a campfire. Oh, we're all just spit in the wind. We make our pile, and then we live in it. What am I going to do in the meantime, Lord? Hoping? That's what I'm doing. Hoping that you save me from a rebel life? Save me from the contempt of dunces? I'll say no more. I'll shut my mouth, since you, Lord, are behind all of this. But I can't take it much longer. When you put us through the fire to purge us from our sin, our dearest idols go up in smoke. Are we also nothing but smoke? Ah, God, listen to my prayer. My cry is open. My cry is open to your ears. Don't be callous. Just look at the tears of mine. I'm a stranger. I don't know my way. A migrant like my whole family. Give me a break. Cut me some slack before it's too late, and I'm out of here. Those sound like words of a desperate man. From who do you say this is, Brother Ramsey? God had called Moses, but he didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do till they... It was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to go out and be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in and rest with them and go along with the brothers. But you see, I forget what prophet it was. I don't want to do this. In other words, he said, but my whole heart will catch fire. God has spoken and I must deliver it. Whether they liked it, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God has spoken his heart and he must say it. Not to be different, but to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hearkening unto the fat of rams. You see, it was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. There was something, a pulsation that pushed them. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till it was their voice, their action. Hallelujah. Give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord, right in that Shekinah glory, and I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. And from patriarch Abraham, Brother Brown said, what a promise because of obedience. Obedience is what God wants. It was once said, obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey the Lord is better than any sacrifice that you could do. And from souls in prison, many, may no woman's blood be upon me at that day, or no man's. I've told you the truth. I've hated to do it. Not hating because I don't want to do it, what God tells me to do, but I love you. I don't want to hurt you. What am I doing? But pure divine love will drive you to do it. Jesus even prayed to dodge the cross. Is it possible that this cup should pass away? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't think any of God's sons ever licked their chops and said, oh good, I can't wait to get in there and rebuke those people. I can't wait to get in that temple and take that strap and start whipping people with it. If they did, what kind of a spirit would be on them? John and James said, well, let's just call fire down from heaven like Elijah did. We'll show them. And Jesus said, what kind of a spirit you got? What kind of a spirit you got? What a rebuke. You don't know what spirit you've got, where it's from. But divine love will press you to do it. From communion, he said, now if God did not spare his own son from cruel testing, then he'll not spare you or I from cruel testing. And Jesus was here confronting the greatest test that he ever had. Gethsemane just laid before him, where that once and final all-sufficient test would come, when the burdens of the entire world laid upon his blessed shoulders. There was no one in heaven and earth could have ever stood it but him. And to know that all of the sins of past sins and present sins and future sins rested upon this decision. And it was one of the most greatest victories that Christ ever won or proved his messiahship, as when he said to God, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the greatest victory that he ever won. All the demons of torment was around him to tempt him and try him. And when we get right with God, when our hearts become pure, and the Holy Spirit has taken its place in our heart, it's the most glorious thing to have testing. The Bible tells us that our testing and trials are more precious to us than silver and gold of this world. So we should be very thankful for that. But are we? Do we really understand what the trials and tests are for? It's to show you your humanity. It's to show you that without Him, you're nothing. That's what your tests are for. That's what your trials are for. That's why God lets you have egg in your face. That's why he allows people to mock and spit. From faith is the substance. Brother Branham said, along came Jesus. And Jesus, listen, Jesus was God's gift to Israel, to the world. Is that right? Jesus was God's gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You believe it? And it wasn't the apostles. Do you think Moses was the deliverer because it was Moses, his wits, his intelligence? Why he said he was a man of slow speech. He was God in Moses, a gift to the people. It was God in Christ. He said, it's not me, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. That's the reason Martha said, Lord, I know that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. She believed it, and there the people believed on him. And now in closing, I'd like to read again from paragraph 87. Brother Branham said, all right, we notice then, see, the spoken word, then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says this, days of miracles. How are you going to do that and then be a manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. No, you don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works prove what you are. Jesus said the same thing. If you think that I'm illegitimately born, they said, we're Abraham's son and nobody needs to teach us. Said, if you was Abraham's children, you'd know me, he said. Which one of you condemns me of sin? Unbelief. Show me one thing that God promised to me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. Well, that dehorned them, see? Certainly said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me of sin? Unbelief, see? If I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing every word that he promised? Now, let me see where you got it in yours. And so we come back to that question. Brother Ram says, why don't you see the miracles among them? He said, because they're illegitimate to the word. They don't believe the word. Or they're ashamed of the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we believe, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe, Lord, that we were not sent to this world to just put in our time. But Lord, we were sent to this world to manifest you and your life through us. Therefore, Father, we pray that you'd help us to prioritize our life. May we spend our day focused on thee and reflecting thee. May we be used by thee, O God. Therefore, we know that If you, no matter what measure we have, it's the same, it'll bring forth the same results. And so, Father, we know that sons are all the same. They're to be the same because it came forth from the original seed. So, Lord, help us to manifest. Help us be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.